welcome, and so glad you're here this morning. I just want to say good job praying together. Proud of you for that. I hope that was a blessing to you like it was to me to hear you give your prayers of Thanksgiving. This is Thanksgiving Sunday, but guess what? Christmas songs are already on the radio. Have you heard them?
Trying not to.
How many of you have already started putting your Christmas decorations up? Okay, we got some Christmas diehards in the room. Way to go. One of the famous, our favorite things in our house about Christmas is the steady stream of Christmas cards that begin to come in. Has anybody received their first Christmas card yet? Yep, okay. We got one that was kind of like Christmas / Thanksgiving. We said that's cheating, but that's okay. And when you see Christmas cards, there's something that I've learned in my many years now of receiving Christmas cards, and particularly cards that include the children of our friends. I've learned one thing. Kids grow. Have you seen that? Kids grow. And now I have kids in my house that are growing, but I see them every day, so I don't notice it. But when I only see a picture of your kid once a year, it is incredible the way they grow. And whenever we see friends, old friends from Washington State or other places, they always say, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe how big your kids are." And I always say, "Well, remember, kids grow. That's what happens. It's one of the things that God has designed us to do. We don't have to think about it, even though all of us as kids are. We don't have to try, grow. It just is the way that God made us to be. He made us to grow, especially when things are healthy. We naturally, all by ourselves, grow. And that's what today's scripture is all about. We're looking at Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 35. It's the end of this section of parables in Mark's gospel. Now, the parables are stories that Jesus told to make a deeper point, but often people didn't really get that point. And that's why the sermon is series has been called Crazy Talk. But if we do really have ears to hear what Jesus is saying, and we've emphasized that call for hearing, and especially in these two parables about the seeds that seem so simple, if we really hear what Jesus is saying, it is actually an incredibly encouraging and empowering message for us today, especially for those of us who are disciples of Jesus. And Joe and I didn't talk before the sermon, before his prayer, but his prayer is perfect because what both of these prayers or these parables are about is the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is hugely important in the Bible. Jesus talked about it a lot. Remember his very first words in Mark's gospel. His very first sermon was a very short, simple sermon. Mark chapter 1, verse 15, when Jesus said, "The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." You see, the good news was the fact that the kingdom of God was near, or other translations say it is at hand, or it was at hand. And why is that good news? Why is it good news that the kingdom of God is near? It's good news because the kingdom of God is awesome. The more we realize what the kingdom of God really is, the more Jesus' message about the kingdom of God feels to us like good news. So what is the kingdom of God? How do you describe the kingdom of God? Well, one way to describe it is this. The kingdom of God is the kingly rule of Jesus Christ lived out in community. You see, the kingdom of God is not a particular people, like an earthly kingdom, or even a particular place like an earthly kingdom. But the kingdom of God does create a particular people who change their particular places. As people submit to the rulership of Jesus, the kingship of Jesus, as they surrender their lives to the King Jesus, they live in a different way. The way that we live when we surrender our life to Jesus is different. And as we change the way we live, when the people and their, when we change the way we live, it changes the places we live. It changes the communities that we're in. And so when the people and their places reflect the rulership of Jesus, when they reflect the way that God wants them to be, that is the kingdom of God. The kingly rule of Jesus Christ lived out in community. And so if you want to know what the kingdom of God looks like, how that would be, then just look at Jesus. Jesus is the perfect example of what the kingdom of God looks like on earth as it is in heaven. When did Jesus show us the kingdom of God? Oh, so many times. He showed it when he healed people of their diseases. He showed it when he freed people from their demon oppressors. He showed it when he welcomed in the outcast. He showed it when he created a community of disciples that included tax collectors and zealots, people who normally would have hated each other, now in reconciled relationship with each other and Jesus. He showed it when he listened to the whole story of the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. He showed it when he raised the little girl who was dead back to life. He showed it when women were welcomed as his disciples and were treated with dignity and entrusted with the gospel message. He showed us the kingdom of God when he submitted his own life, his perfect and innocent life, to a humiliating death on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. He showed us the kingdom when he rose from the dead in absolute victory over sin and death and all of its cohort. Beloved, the kingdom of God is life and peace and joy and security and righteousness and justice and freedom in community. It's when the wholeness of God is lived out on earth. The kingdom of God is awesome, even when it comes through sacrifice and pain and suffering. And before we dive into what these parables say to us about the kingdom of God, let me just say one more thing about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the vision. The kingdom is God's vision. It's what the Father is currently doing through Jesus the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is God's end game. It's his vision for the future. It's his preferred state that he will achieve in the future. So when people say, well, what's our vision as a church? The kingdom of God is our vision, because the kingdom of God is God's vision. We call it redeeming transformation. Look on the front of your bulletin or look on our website. You will see our purpose statement there. Our purpose statement, just say it with me if you know it, is to engage together in Christ's work of making disciples for the redeeming transformation of our city and world. That last phrase is another way of saying so that the kingdom of God comes on earth as it is in heaven. Redeeming transformation is another way of describing the kingdom of God. And that redeeming transformation, that kingdom of God, is our vision. That is our picture of a better future that we're moving towards, that we want to see happen, that we want to experience. That's what we believe will happen, by the way, when we are disciples who make disciples with a kingdom mindset. The kingdom of God is our vision. That's why we don't only celebrate when people come to faith in Jesus for salvation. And I want you to know that through the ministry of people in this congregation, people have been coming to faith in Jesus. A handful of people just in the last month. Hallelujah. We celebrate that. Of course we celebrate that. And we pray for more of that. We want to see more and more of that, because that is part of God's kingdom. But guess what? We also celebrate when we see God's work of sanctification, not just salvation. When we see God's transforming work to make us more like Christ, when we see addictions are destroyed, when grudges are forgiven, when insecurity is replaced by gospel identity, when fear is replaced by faith, when hatred is overcome by love, we celebrate when we see the transformation of Jesus in our lives. But it's even bigger than that. Because the kingdom of God is our vision, we celebrate also when poverty rates decrease in our city. We celebrate when domestic violence is stopped. We celebrate when test scores at our local schools go up. We celebrate when crime rates in our city decline. The gospel of Jesus is not only about souls being saved for heaven. No, the gospel is about God's redeeming transformation in our souls and in our city. The kingdom of God is the kingly rule of Jesus lived out in community. And that's what we long to see in ourselves and in our congregation and in our city and in our world. Amen? That's why these two parables are so encouraging about the kingdom of God. And I figure it's time for us to actually look at the scripture, don't you think? Let's do that. I'm already on page 3 and we haven't even looked at the scripture yet. So, the first parable is about the growing seed. Look at verse 26. It says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. What the kingly rule of Jesus Christ lived out in community is like. It's like a man who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. So here, when Jesus says, this is what the kingdom of God is like, he's not doing what I just did and kind of talking about what the kingdom is or what it looks like. He's just talking about how it grows. The farmer simply throws the seed on the ground and then the seed grows. Even while the farmer sleeps, all by itself, Jesus says, the soil produces grain. And as the grain ripens, the harvest has come. So there's power inherent in the seed to generate into something and to grow and eventually produce a harvest, a seed that is buried beneath the ground that you cannot see and cannot control. It is doing its own thing. Now all of us know that the farmer doesn't just twiddle his thumbs and let the seed grow. But no, the farmer works year round to nurture an environment for that seed to grow. But all of us also know that if God had not made the seed with the power to grow all by itself, that the farmer's labor would be in vain. So what is Jesus saying here about the kingdom of God? He's saying that the kingdom is going to come in all its fullness. The kingdom is going to grow in a proper way. It's going to grow. Even though it was hiding kind of during Jesus' ministry, Jesus is saying that the kingdom is going to come. In fact, in Jesus, the process has already begun. And in God's sovereignty, God's power, God's control, He is causing it to expand and grow into maturity until it comes time for the harvest. You see, it's likely that when Jesus talked about the sickle in verse 29, it made his Jewish listeners think about the day of the Lord, because that last line about the sickle and the harvest is almost a direct quote from Joel chapter 3, verse 13. And Joel is about the day of the Lord that's going to come and make things right. You see, for them, the kingdom of God and the day of the Lord were really linked together. In the Old Testament, the day of the Lord is that day in the future when God will rule the whole earth without any rival. It's when everything, absolutely everything, will reflect God's righteousness and God's justice. And for God's people, that is a really good thing. So that means that it's also a day of judgment, when God will eradicate every form of evil. And the sickle was a sign of that judgment. So the point of this parable is that that day of the Lord is coming. It will come. That God is sovereign and He is working through Jesus to bring the kingdom of God in fullness and in power. And nothing is going to get in its way. Even if it seems hidden right now below the ground like a seed that's buried, it is going to come. Even if it's going to come in a way that's different than what they expect. The kingdom of God is coming in fullness. And the parable of the mustard seed is like it, but it's a little bit different. Look at verse 31. It says, "It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." Have you ever seen a mustard seed? Let me just show you. It? No, because it's not there. I don't have anything there. Because if I did have one, you wouldn't be able to see it anyway. It's tiny. It's tiny. But when you plant it, it grows. It grows big. It's not literally the smallest seed on the earth, but it was the smallest seed that the Galileans would have used. And even though the seed is so small, it grows big and wild. Not only does it become the biggest plant in the garden, but it actually kind of takes over the garden. It's pervasive. So this parable is similar to the one about the growing seed, because it talks about how that seed grows. But really this one is more about the contrast between the way it starts and the way it ends. The point is that even though the kingdom is starting in obscurity and in insignificance, it is going to grow to be larger and more encompassing than they can even understand. Remember, the people listening to Jesus, they connected the kingdom of God to the day of the Lord when the Messiah would come and bring everything under His kingship. And for them, that picture of the day of the Lord is dramatic. It's big. It is unavoidable. But the secret, Jesus said, of the kingdom of God that He shared with those who were with Him, Jesus Himself is the secret. Jesus is the one who is bringing the kingdom through His ministry right in their midst. And in the people's eyes, Jesus was just a carpenter from Nazareth. And even after He started His ministry, which was, of course, dramatic, It was primarily up in the Galilee, up in the country, out in the sticks. Jesus was not living into their expectations of how the Messiah would come, of what the day of the Lord would look like, of how the kingdom would come. This is not how they expected the kingdom to come. But the parable teaches that even though the kingdom has small beginnings, it is going to supplant all other kingdoms in the world. The kingdom may be small at the beginning, but it will have big results. Small at the start, but a big finish. That's the main point of the mustard seed parable. And so these are two simple parables about seeds. They don't have a complicated message. But, beloved, when we truly hear and understand and receive what Jesus is saying, I hope you can see how these two simple parables are so encouraging. I hope you can see why they matter so much. And to do that, I think it's helpful to think about those very first readers of Mark's gospel. There's a ton of evidence. We talked about this when we very first started talking about the Gospel of Mark. There's a ton of evidence to support the idea that Mark, who wrote the Gospel, wrote it first for the Christians who were living in Rome during the time of Nero. And Nero, of course, was famous for his massive and horrible persecution of Christians in Rome. He launched a public smear campaign against them, and then he began to capture them and kill them in gruesome and public ways. So if you were one of Mark's first Christian readers, living in the context of that kind of persecution, don't you think it would be encouraging to hear Jesus talk about the way that the kingdom of God was going to come? No matter how small it started, no matter what evil force came against it, that the kingdom would grow and would supplant every other earthly kingdom. That even if they were snuffed out, those Christians in Rome, even if they were killed because of their faith, that the kingdom of God would not be snuffed out. Yes. I believe that would be an encouraging thing for them to hear in the midst of their persecution, in the midst of that incredible hardship. And church, I believe it's an encouraging thing for us to hear as well. Let us not forget that the kingdom of God is still growing. That this small band of disciples who we read about in this gospel were so transformed by their relationship with Jesus that they took the message of Jesus throughout the known world. And for these past some 2,000 years, the Holy Spirit of God has been working through disciples of Jesus to make the kingdom of God known and seen all around the world. The kingdom of God is here and it is growing, but we also know that the kingdom of God has not fully come. When two men walk into a backyard party and kill four people, when the Marjorie Mason Center can hardly keep up with all the requests for safe housing from those trying to escape from domestic violence, when our city's concentrated poverty is ranked second in the country, and when devastating addictions are raging inside and outside the church, it is clear that the kingdom of God has not yet fully come. And in the midst of that, we can lose hope that the kingdom of God will ever come. When we see those things in the newspaper, when we experience those things in our own life. But beloved, don't lose hope. Don't despair. God has not abandoned His plan. God has not forgotten His vision. He has not lost sight of it. His kingdom is coming. And we experience it in part right now, but the day will come when those of us who are in Christ will experience it in all of its fullness. Hallelujah. So the question for us is, how do we cooperate? How do we participate with God in bringing His kingdom? And as we've read in Mark so far, the answer is first, very simply, centered on our relationship with Jesus. We put ourselves behind Jesus. We follow Him. We become His disciples. We do His business. So if you're a person here today who hasn't yet chosen to follow Jesus, I pray that you will see today who He really is and how good His kingdom really is and how good it is to live under His kingly rule, and that today you will make the decision to put yourself behind Him, to follow Him, to become His disciples. And when you put your faith in Him as your Lord and Savior, you will be saved and you will be empowered by the Spirit of God to participate in and experience His kingdom. And for those of us who are already disciples of Jesus, we continue to put ourselves behind Him every day. We continue to live in obedience to Him every day. He's the one that causes the seed to grow. But as we put ourselves behind Him, as we make ourselves His disciples, as we increasingly surrender all of life to God's empowering presence and lordship, He will use us to bring out His redeeming transformation in the places where you live and where you work and where you learn and where you hang out. Put yourself behind Jesus. Be His disciple. Follow Him. Live in obedience to Him. But the other thing that I think specifically comes out of this text and these parables is the planting of seeds. You see, earlier in the chapter when Jesus was talking about the parable of the soils, he said it in verse 14 that the seed is the word. The word is the message of the kingdom. It's the good news of God that the kingdom of God is coming, and we can be a part of that by simply putting our faith in Jesus and by becoming his disciples. And then in verse 26, Jesus says that the man scatters the seed. The word in the original language there literally means that he's just throwing it out without any regard for where it lands, just generously just throwing the seed. He's just scattering it out. So how do we participate as Jesus' disciples? How do we participate in his kingdom coming? We follow Jesus and we scatter the seed. We share the word with our mouths. We remember that God is the one who causes the seed to grow and take root. So where it lands and what happens to it as it lands isn't up to us. We scatter the seed. We share the word. We follow Jesus. We do his work. And we do all of that, church, all of that with enduring hope. We, the people of God, should be the most hopeful people in all the world. Why? Because the kingdom of God is coming. And it will come. Because God's in charge of it and he is faithful. Because we can trust without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus' kingdom is coming. So, beloved of God, this week and every week, may we seek first the kingdom of God in everything, with everyone, in every place. Scattering the seed with enduring hope for the future, for the redeeming transformation of our city and world. May it be so of us. Let's pray and ask God for that. Father in heaven, thank you that you are bringing your kingdom and that you've invited us to be a part of it. And I do just pray right now that if there's anyone here who has not yet submitted themselves to your kingship, has not yet surrendered their life to you, have not yet put their faith in you and trusted themselves to you as Lord and Savior, I pray that they will do that right now, that they will recognize and see who you are and see the goodness of your kingdom. Lord, I pray that also you will help us to see the areas of our lives that are not under your lordship, and that today we might, by your grace and by the power of your Spirit, bring those things before you so that you might change those things and bring them into alignment. And then, God, that we as your people, as we seek the redeeming transformation of our city and our world, that we would put ourselves behind you, that we would scatter the seed generously, that we would not be afraid, but that we would spread the word about the kingdom of God, about who Jesus really is. And we would do it with enduring hope, even when we have horrible news in our lives personally, or in our city, or in our world, that we would still be people with hope because of who you are. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed said, Amen. 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 The prayer team is here, and they would love to pray with you about anything this morning that is on your heart, whether it's something that you want to give thanks to God for or something you want to ask God's help for. Many of us are gathering with family this week, and for some of us that's really fun, and for some of us it's really hard. Some of us, this is a very hard season because of who won't be at the table with us. And so whatever the need is that you have today, I encourage you to come forward. This is an important week. God wants to be at work in you to help his kingdom come and his will be done. I encourage you to come forward and ask the prayer team to join you in praying over you in this week ahead. Now I want to invite you to receive this blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his perfect peace today and every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, Amen. Go in peace.